You're listening to DraftKings Network.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Today's episode is sponsored by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours.
WFAT. When your team is losing and you want to fight, WFAT will make you feel alright. When your dreams of glory have come to an end, WFAT will be your greatest friend. WFAT. Shining sea, our callers are doing our jobs for free at WFAT.
Outside of Jorge Sedano, I don't think there's anyone in the history of this market who knows where Stugatz's skeletons are buried more than Zaslow. He has seen every incarnation of the Stugatz.
Yep.
From hungry to lazy to
lazy,
what you are right now, Stugatz, which is fully engaged. This is Stugatz is working 5 days this week. It's the first time I can remember that, and I do not know how long. And it's because the Knicks matter, and he is now programming WFAT. I am not happy with our guest list today, which is New York aggressive. And Zaslow, I'm going to need your help beating some of this back because Stugatz is. You always want to harness the maximum Stugatz energy, but the New Yorkization of what it is that we're doing around here makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, you guys are feeling so good right now. You're going to come crashing down soon, though. It looks like your team's breaking down a little bit. Jalen Brunson,
yep.
OG Anunoby, only yes. So many injuries you could take.
OG was great last night. I got to tell you, he kept us in the game when Brunson went out. In that
enjoy it while you
quarter.
Can.
Yeah, what do you mean, while I can?
While you can.
I'm enjoying
enjoy it while you can.
Zazzle, I haven't enjoyed this in 30 years. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of it. Yes.
I will say a couple of things about what is happening here that is wonderful to watch. One, it's the most lovable Knicks team of my lifetime, bar none. You can have whatever it is that you hate about those jerseys.
It might be the only.
But those players, Josh Hart playing more minutes than Wilt Chamberlain. Like, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, that's classic Thibodeau.
Right.
But playing more minutes than Wilt Chamberlain, and this team is now representing when Jalen Brunson comes out in the second half and like doubles down on we're maximum underdogs. We come back from all odds. We can overcome anything with our heart, our Josh Hart and our Hartenstein. We can, we're going to, with our heart on, you're going to, on our sleeves.
Got it.
Last night, I hope that I'm wrong about this, but last night felt like the apex of the Knicks season because all of these injuries are going to be really tough to play with for the rest of the series. And if they somehow move on playing against Boston with players that are going to have to contribute minutes that haven't played all season, might be kind of tough. But last night was the apex because they won at MSG again against the Pacers, a tough game. And Josh Hart, who is your favorite Knicks fan's favorite Knick, had words to say to Reggie Miller.
I think that's a f Josh Hartnett.
I want to address basically everything that's happening there because I don't think New York understands that that's not the flex they think it is to remember how he tore your heart out with 8 points in 9 seconds 30 years ago.
I don't want to hear about Reggie Miller. I mean, he has somehow inserted himself into this series. I am tired of Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller was 9-33 for his career on the road against the Knicks. He had 9 seconds. 9 seconds. Take those 9 seconds away, and Reggie Miller, according to Dan, who was asked by Boog Shambi at the Versace Mansion many, many years ago, Reggie Miller, not a Hall of Famer.
Great moment.
I am tired of hearing about Reggie Miller. Inserting himself, and I don't want the Knicks to focus on him anymore. It's over. It was 30 years ago. He's overrated. He had 9 seconds. Again, 9-33.
Here's the thing, though.
The Knicks on the
road. The only thing you remember about Knicks Pacers are Pacer victories.
Yeah.
Nobody remembers about the Knicks doing anything good. He could be 9-1,000. Nobody right. remembers yeah. about the Knicks winning any of those games.
It was
it's
one.
Reggie Miller, right. all those points in a few seconds, and Patrick Ewing missing a layup. Pat Riley quits and comes to the Miami Heat. Because get out of here, New York. Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, all funny. I remember yeah. about the 90s is Michael Jordan. So this yeah. is like a real argument for second place here in the East. You but the Reggie Miller was inserted by TNT onto this broadcast. Yeah. This is usually just a two-man
enough.
Crew.
Yeah, he didn't just show up and say, I'm working tonight.
And they were like, we're putting him on this broadcast, even though it's at MSG, and Knicks fans are going to be furious about it. So Josh Hart was reminding him, hey, by the way, buddy, you're still not welcome here.
They followed him down the tunnel like if he was playing in the game. You know how they do like the inserts of like, here's Steph Curry walking to the Garden. It was like Reggie Miller about to broadcast. I was like, eh.
What I'm telling you about New York advancing to this space that makes the sport better, that they haven't been to in a long time, is that you could rummage around, and you have to rummage around to get the excellence out of the Knicks history into the past. And what you find, to me, if Reggie Miller is one of the great villains in the history of sports, what a compliment that you can't shut up about his 9 seconds from 30 years ago. The dude's almost 60. The dude's almost 60, and a whole arena is chanting about how bad he made them feel 30 years ago.
He's not even the best basketball player in his own family. I don't want to hear about it from Reggie
Thank
Miller.
You.
I really
Thank
don't.
You.
Name
Thank
another you, Reggie yes. Miller moment. Go ahead. I dare you. Name one.
When he pushed up Michael Jordan, he hit that three-pointer. And then he jumped around center court. It's a good moment.
He's in the Hall of One Moment. I mean, that's what he is.
The fight against Michael Jordan.
Stu Gatz was going to make that Hall of One Moment joke no matter how many examples you gave him.
The Hall of 9 seconds. Right.
I would love to have, if I were a villain, and I did something, and the middle of New York was singing my name 30 years later because of 9 seconds of my villainy that I gave them.
It was a tough 9 seconds.
Holy shit. I mean, how memorable is that? I just can't think from any greater compliments that a sports villain can get than to make that arena feel for the first time like it felt back when you were playing because you're invested in stakes.
It made every Knicks fan hate Spike Lee when it happened.
It
Everyone
did.
Blamed Spike Lee.
You're right. We
for Anthony Mason throwing the ball away.
No, for inciting him, for pissing off Reggie Miller. The moment is, and Spike Lee showed up with his Reggie Miller. Spike Lee showed up. I don't know how he got the contraband into the arena, given that James Dolan confiscates everything and suspends people with surveillance.
Yep. Breaking down something that happened 30 years ago. WFAT.
That's what it is, baby. And so last night, Carlisle gets ejected, and they have sent, I'm not making
Enough
this.
Enough of him.
I am not making this number up. They have sent 78 missed calls to the league office from the first two games.
Okay.
That is unbelievable. I mean, Rick Carlisle, how about you spend some time, stop cutting up tape, stop looking through the film to find where the missed fouls were. How about you spend your time coaching your team?
WFAT.
Some adjustments, anything.
Who gets the report and like, all right, give it to that guy in the back to review these calls. Like, whose awful job is that to sift through 78 calls that Rick Carlisle, not like our officials, that Rick Carlisle thinks is questionable. That's a shit.
There's no way they actually review it, right? They get that paper with all the links, and they're like, just don't worry about it.
Send them an email back that it's under consideration,
under review,
and just throw it in the.
We're investigating. They're investigating. That's what you say.
I do need to stop Stugatz on something though, because whatever you think the differences are between Carlisle and Thibodeau. Carlisle, before the last round, hadn't won a playoff series since when? 2011? When was the last time that he won?
Since they won the championship in Dallas.
A playoff series. Yeah. But whatever you think the difference is between Carlisle and Tibbs, when Stugatz says, how about you coach your team? This is doing that. Trying to manipulate the officiating. When the officiating decided game one, Stugatz, trying to manipulate officiating, that is part of coaching now.
Coaching your team is playing TJ McConnell, who's been maybe your best player through the first two games. Play him in the second half. I mean, he's guarding Brunson better than anyone. Play him in the second half.
I mean, listen.
That's coaching your team.
You're talking about TJ McConnell. I'm over there watching Pastrnak get punched in the face by
Anthony. Oh, yeah. The best.
I mean, TJ McConnell, who cares? I mean, you see how hard he hit.
Talking hockey right now?
What are you talking about, man?
Come on. Knicks did not get a lot of love from me last night. Panthers, yes. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Look at Roy, buoyant and hungover. Has anyone in the history of the show showed up more for work hungover than Roy? Is he the league leader in the history of this show?
Chris Cody.
I don't know. He certainly hasn't said it as often as you are.
If it's not a school night, though, I'm getting after it. But
Greg Cody?
Greg Cody's got some endurance. He doesn't come in. He doesn't come in broken from his dozen beers in the garage the night before. You're the amateur who comes in here perpetually broken because you don't know how to moderate your drink.
I just show up, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
I come here, man.
I know you come here, man, and you do so hungover more than anybody because they got drunk on goals last night.
Oh, that was good. That's
six
of them.
A six pack, Dano.
And better than that, because Panther fans are going to like this part. It's not just that you win 6-1. It's that you're actually winning the violence.
Yes.
You won the stick your tongue out at them game.
That's right. Montour, I love you, baby.
Yeah, the thing was, though, it was Boston that resorted to thuggery, not Florida. It was Boston. And he lost.
Boston started the thuggery. Florida finished the thuggery. But you guys were very excited by the tongue off.
Oh. So good.
You gotta explain it to Tony, please, because Tony is learning everything. Tony, I need you to pay even just glancing attention to what's happening.
But Dan, me and Billy told you, don't worry about it until they get to the Stanley Cup final. Yep. Then we're gonna get locked in. But right now,
you're nuts not paying attention. There's so much fun stuff about that game last night. Monty sticking out his tongue at Marchand last night. Pastrnak eating that fist. Oh my God. How about that Pastrnak? Did you see him when he turned around to his coach? He goes, can I fight? He asked his coach if he could fight. He asked him. He said, the mean guy, the bully on the other team. Am I allowed to fight him? And then pop, planted him. Fist right in his mouth. Let me tell you, which camera? Is that camera?
Yeah.
Listen, Pastrnak, you want to fight someone, you fight me.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Which is more true here, that Zaslow sounds like Maximum Sports Radio, or with the backward cap and the entire look, looks like somebody on spring break in Daytona Beach?
That's all right. We're turning back the clock here, baby.
He is Mad Dog before Mad Dog, because we've got Mad Dog coming on here on WFAT in about 25 minutes. You've never spoken to him
before? No, I have several times, but he's my hero.
But you're very excited.
Yeah, very excited.
But you and Stugatz both have some of the cadence copycatting that comes from knowing what it is that Mad Dog was in sports radio back when he was inventing it.
He is a major influence on me.
Yep. Yes.
The funny thing about the tongue off, as you referenced, that is actually a troll, because Brad Marchand actually licked a player.
Yeah, he licked a guy.
That's right, last year, right?
No, it wasn't last year. It was a couple years ago. Yeah. It was Ryan Callahan of the Rangers when he did that.
Huh. The guy who was on the call last night?
Yeah, it was Ryan Callahan, yeah.
This is a rare thing that we saw last night, because this is not just a regular fight. This is the best player on each team, which you rarely see fight. I mean, Tkachuk is like
he's an agitator. But he's not really a fighter.
But he never fights. And that one was so cool to see, because they talked about it before. They're looking at each other on the bench, and
please,
you want to go?
Can you let me fight Tkachuk? Let me fight
him.
Please,
my God.
Please, pretty please. Have you ever seen a player ask their coach for permission to fight? Here's permission to get knocked out. That's right.
So good.
I think it was the 11th and 12th misconduct that period. It was a fight.
They were handing out 10 minutes like candy.
Yeah. It was just a sight to see, man. It was a beautiful game.
But why are we getting a Roy for celebrating? Because there are very few things in life that are better than knotting up a series at one game apiece.
Oh, absolutely.
Worthy of a celebration.
2-0 yes, the Panthers, a little better.
When you're down 1-0 and you knot it up at one game apiece, that is worthy of a celebration. It is. Yep, kept your season alive.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line, there were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste, only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Libertard.
Sub 500 seasons, it's been lonely. Now the best player's on our side. Been losing and losing for much too long. But now we're back with New York pride.
Stugatz.
Jalen. You've got us on our feet, Jalen. We're gonna win the East, Jalen. Without Randall, we're still doing fine.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Can you guys help me manage one of these situations? Because I don't know how to do this in the modern age because I am just so tired after so many years of doing this, having all of the conversations around the refereeing and the officiating in the deciding of games. But when Carlisle gets ejected and they flood the league office with 78 complaints about missed calls through to games. I don't want to do wah, wah from Knicks fans, which is what they'll do when the moment they lose a game late against Philadelphia, those fans will do the same thing, and then fans on the other side will do the wah, wah, stop with your whining and whimpering.
He's feeding that narrative that the NBA is rigged. He's saying small markets should get the same chances, same opportunities as big markets.
That's not what he's doing. He's just setting up game three, going back to his building.
I get it, Zaslow. There's no need to say it, though. Rick Carlisle.
No, there is need to say it.
Because then the referees,
it's human nature.
He won a championship in market number 5. Do me a favor. How have the Knicks been the last 30 years? How have they been?
So are you not going to help
Washington?
You're not going to help me further this discussion because you want to keep doing the rinse repeat of every time there's a call, we come on the next day and argue about the call and we have the same argument for 25 years about this?
I don't like it either. But Rick Carlisle made a pretty crazy accusation after the game. I understand why he's doing it, but he's essentially saying he feels like the series is rigged.
But how do we do that? How do I and the in the content business, the thing that I'm asking you about, because Jalen Brunson has become a genuine phenomenon.
A good player.
He's not just a good player. He's a good player, even though you're left to wonder, how does he do all of that, given his size and speed? This is a little confusing. There are not physical gifts out there that would suggest to me that when this guy comes back, Stugatz, in the second half, to MVP chance, I'm not joking when I say this, in that building, moments like that, you got to go back 60 years for a fan base to fall in love with Willis Reed in the finals, because what you're giving New York is the feeling of, wait, maybe with you, we can do this with you because of how tough you are, because of how much we love this team, because you are a team that Knicks believe they will find a way no matter what the issue is, because Josh Hart will play 48 minutes and Brunson will limp out of the locker room, and it's exactly the kind of team any fan base wants to have. The one that gets swamped in the first half. Brunson goes to the locker room. Fear sweeps through all of New York because he's going to be done for the playoffs. What does this mean? We've got no chance without him. And Anunoby? He's going to go for almost 30, and then he's out at the end of the game. And you withstand that even though what's on your bench is Charlie Brown, a guy named Charlie Brown, and Alec Burks?
Yeah, I love Alec Burks, though. He can give you 22 on any given night.
He gave you 1 minute last night.
I don't know about
1 minute, but he can. Regular season, check out
1 minute last night. A single minute he gave you last night.
Well, he'll play more minutes going forward here. I think Jess was right. We saw an apex last night because the Brunson story, his individual story and the Knicks story, somehow got better. Like, I didn't think that was possible. And somehow it got better. I have no idea how he injured his foot. I don't care if he injured his foot. If he purposely left in the second quarter to get that in the third quarter, good for Jalen Brunson. That is a heady play. But, Dan, the story got better last night.
A couple of Knicks fans agreeing with each other.
Yeah.
I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. I can see it now. They're talking about this being the apex of the season. Just setting it up for once they beat Indy, heading over to Boston, maybe getting one on the road in Boston, all of a sudden that becomes the apex of the season. So they're setting it up for down the road.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I thought was the biggest moment last night. Right at the end of the second, when Forsling puts the Panthers up 3-1.
Oh. Huge.
That was a big moment.
I left my seat there because he literally scored with, what, like 0.3
one,
seconds
1.
left?
1.3, yeah.
And I admit, I left my seat. I had to get a
hold on.
Bathroom.
Hold on. Get the video. Get the Roy Bellamy tweet. I love how Roy tweets from games. You're saying right now that it's 1.3 seconds, but I saw on my timeline last night that Roy Bellamy tweeted that that happened with 0.3 seconds left.
He added a second.
But you didn't. Your tweet had 3/10 of a second on it
when he was drunk.
The clock said 0.3.
You got out there too quick with it.
No, it literally said 0.3.
Rather be first than right.
Yes. You're absolutely correct. Rather be first than right. Yeah.
You wanted people to say Roy had it first?
Yes.
Roy Bellamy.
Roy had what first?
He reported, yes. Well, but
something wrong.
Roy's
tweets. But who cares? He had it first.
Roy's tweets are one of the greatest things in the history of the written word and sports because he just tells you matter-of-factly in Roy's total character what just happened.
Is he Hockey Magic Johnson?
Wait a minute. That's insulting.
1,000%.
That is insulting.
He's not as enthusiastic. But I think since Tony hasn't been paying attention at all, what I do before I come into work
I've been keeping an eye on.
I read Roy's tweets because they're very informative and you will know exactly what happened in the game. All you need to do, you don't have to watch the game, just read Roy's tweets and you will know. Listen to the hockey show also with Roy and David.
But that's on Fridays, though. This game was yesterday.
That's true, but it will keep you informed week to week. And then you don't have to watch the games. You can just pay attention to whatever Roy says. Roy's doing a good job. Yeah. He's doing
with
God's
0.3
work.
0.3 seconds left. Gustav Forsling with a clapper to make it 3-1 Florida.
It says right there, 0.3 seconds.
That might as well be in Mandarin for me. I don't know who.
You want to know
is Gustav Forsling one guy, two guys?
One guy.
Like Gustav passed a Forsling with a clapper to make it 3-1.
Like the Barkov. Like the Barkov line. Do you want? You want to know the definition? You want Roy's working definition with a clap of a clapper?
A clapper. Yeah, I have no idea what it is.
It's a slap shot.
Roy then later corrected.
I like a clapper too.
Roy then later corrected. Make that 1.3. They've put a second back on the clock.
Oh, but look at that. He changed it from a clapper to a bomb.
Yeah, you know, there are multiple ways to describe a slap shot.
Right.
And I went with an alternate way there.
Stugatz, when a fan base falls in love with a team, there are multiple ways in basketball to fall in love the best. When you have the guy who's scoring more than anyone else in the playoffs, which is what Brunson went into that game doing. But also, God almighty, do fans love this part of it. When you don't know where you're going to get it from on a certain night, and then that guy does what Anunoby does in the first half, where you're like, wait a minute, that's not the offensive player that he is, but they need it, and you're getting it in different spots. Josh Hart in this postseason, I don't recognize this player.
He's been great.
He is not a 45% shooter from three, and he's not somebody who routinely scores 19 points a game. But if you look at his game logs, there are a lot of 17 rebound games in there.
Yep.
Josh Hart for a 210-pound guy is exactly the kind of guy when Jessica says he's your favorite Knicks fan's favorite Nick. He plays exactly, him and Hartenstein play exactly the way you fall in love with the grit guys.
He rebounds at a clip where he looks like he's 6'10".
Yeah.
And then you realize he's 6'4". He's just skying over bigs, over everybody to get rebounds. You can lock him in for double-digit rebounds every single night from that position. It's crazy.
He had 15 last night. He's been great. And Dan's right. Like, that's the beauty of this team. That's why why we've fallen in love with this team. You're going to get what you're going to get from Jalen Brunson every single night. You have no idea who your number two is going to be on any given night.
They're trying so hard.
Yeah.
The Knicks.
Yeah, you only have five choices.
To be the Miami Heat.
Right.
They're trying so
hard. What are you talking about? The Heat are out.
We did this last year. Yeah. We did the same thing. Everything you're saying right now, replace it with Heat players' names. They're trying so – they saw what the Heat did. They're like, man, I wish that was us. They're trying so hard to be the Miami Heat. That's what they're doing.
He's right.
He's not wrong. Gabe Vincent and Max Jones.
No, he is wrong.
Caleb Martin.
Oh, Jalen Brunson. He's the best closer. We didn't know he was this good. Just replace everything you just said about Jalen Brunson with Jimmy Butler. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I didn't know he's 45% from three. Okay, replace the name with Jimmy Butler. It's the same. Every game's close. The Heat pull it out. They hit tons of threes. They play good defense. They play hard. Nobody thought they were as good. They wish they were the Miami Heat.
We're going for the Heat. That's what you're
saying.
Yeah,
that's right. Really. But, well, a championship organization. Yeah, right. Like, makes sense.
Yeah.
Could do a lot worse.
Right.
Yeah, like being the Knicks last 600
years. Hard to do better. Yeah, you're right.
I'm really surprised that Zaslow doesn't have that old Knicks hatred in his gut. Because
he hates Boston more, Dana.
Understood, but Boston didn't bring the physical fights. Boston didn't bring the opposing coaches hanging on to Alonzo Mourning's ankle at the center of the court.
I think yesterday was 25 years since Allen Houston. I think that was yesterday.
Yeah.
Rough day.
That shot that he's talking about is Pat Riley sobbing at his desk after that game, realizing he's got to blow up his whole team. Like, in the locker room, that shot. And it's faded. God, it's good to have him back. It is. I've missed them. It's decades of irrelevance, plural. I have missed this so much, this team mattering in this sport. The part that really messes with my mind, though, I'm having difficulties with liking the actual players.
Folks, listen up. I want to talk to you about PXG and their new Black Ops driver. You no longer have to sacrifice distance for accuracy, for forgiveness. Folks, those days are done. You get both of those things with this new driver because I went to one of their PXG locations and I tested it out myself. And my boy Mike over there, if you're in Fort Lauderdale, you got to go to that location. He took care of me there. It was quick. It was efficient. By the time I got into my car, I had my email where my clubs were going to be sent. I have them now. It is a beautiful thing. What an experience. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's complete, total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. It's adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000. I'm telling you, that is ridiculously high. You got to check it out. The PXG Black Ops driver. You'll be as impressed as I was. Learn more and get free shipping on all the equipment at pxg.com/Dan. Use code Dan at checkout. That's pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/Dan. Code Dan.
Don Lebatard.
For weeks, months even, during the regular season, I wondered aloud what Kevin Stenlund did. And then about 3 weeks ago, it hit me.
Stugatz.
He gives him one of these, and he gives him one of those.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Tony, not that this is usually the subject matter that we have here on WFAT, but what is your problem with the Catholic clergy?
Oh, Dan, I thought you'd never ask me. So this goes back, the beef between me and the Catholic clergy goes back to Easter, the day before Easter, right? So I'm at a Catholic service because my wife's cousin is getting married in the church, but they were doing it kind of different, whatever. So we're at this huge Easter Mass, and Dan, I don't know if you've ever been to an Easter Mass before. They were getting all of the sacraments in at one time. So we had kids doing first communions. We have kids getting baptized that are like 2 years old. We have people getting...
It's a show. It's a big show.
It's a 4-hour mass.
Which one's the big one? Christmas or Easter?
From what I saw, Easter, because I was there for 4 hours.
I thought they did it all the night before, like the Easter Vigil Mass.
Yeah, that's what I was at.
So it was like Saturday night.
Saturday night,
oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Don't go to that. Rookie mistake.
I was promised, hey, hour in and out. We're going to see them tie the knot. Everything's great. I'll see you guys later. We're going to go to the ale house. Like, whatever, right? So as I'm sitting there, hour one goes through. They sing like 40 songs. Hour three, I'm at a place where I'm like, all right, we got to get out of here.
But how many baptisms? You're saying it's
20
all of
baptisms.
It's, but it's confirmations. It's communions.
Everything.
It's all. It's just
it's literally
it's
every
when
sacrament.
All the converted Catholics also get confirmed,
yes.
I believe.
Yes.
So there's like, it's a special moment for
you guys
a lot
are
of people.
But it's a clearance sale
yes.
of Catholicism.
Yes.
Like, it's just everything.
It's everybody in one. Just you're getting communions, you're getting little breads, you're getting things. Babies are getting dunked in the thing. Old people are getting dunked in the thing. It was crazy, right? So they get to a point. Jess, maybe you can help me on what things are called.
If I remember, I will
okay.
try to help. I was just thinking about when you mentioned babies getting dunked in the baptismal font. I thought about during COVID when they were like, hey, this is like, we're going to get germs. Instead, we're going to spray these babies
with
like
spray
the spray guns full yeah. of like baptism water, holy water. Oh man, those were crazy times.
So Dan, let me set the scene. There's 400 people in this church, right? It's kind of muggy, if you want me to be honest. A little hot in there. They're singing songs. Lights are going on and off. People standing up and down. Like, I'm not used to it, right? Whatever. I'm there just enjoying the ride, just making sure that we watch, which ends up being the very last thing, by the way.
But were you trying to do a move of go to the Saturday Mass so that you get your Sunday for free? You get your religion?
No, I still had to go Sunday.
Oh, you had to go.
I still had to go Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, I still had to go Sunday. This was more for, hey, they're getting their marriage blessed. We have to go watch it. So the entire family's there. And at a certain point, they do the spritzing of the holy water for people, right? So people come up, they get the holy water. All of a sudden.
You mean like they like sprinkle it on you? It's not like they mix Aperol into it. Just want to make
correct.
Make
it's not
clear.
Spritzing. It's with the chains and the.
So all of a sudden, El Papa, or whoever it was, the cardinal, I don't know the names. He
it's probably the bishop of the diocese.
The bishop. So
I'm guessing.
He gets like this, like, imagine like a mop, but like a little mop, right? It has like these like strings of yarn or whatever. So he's going around people and just kind of like P.D. Pablo putting, you know,
yeah, the holy water.
His shirt around
sure,
his head like a helicopter.
Yeah.
So he's kind of doing it to people, whatever.
And
so,
go like
yeah, right. So people are getting blessed with the holy water. Picture the church is almost like at a slant. So he's going upstairs. And he's kind of like
stadium seating.
Stadium
yeah.
seating. He's kind of like waving around, like everybody's like, yeah.
And then you do the sign of the cross when the water hits you.
So
yeah.
This guy, I'm sitting at the edge top, because we got there late. So I'm sitting at the edge top of the stadium seating. So he turns a corner.
Wow.
He looks at me. I'm standing there. We're all kind of standing. I'm there like, yeah, come on, let's make it happen. This guy cocks back. Guys, I swear to you. He cocks back with the thing and goes, yeah.
Really?
When he hits yes. me, guys, my glasses, it was like water pouring down my glasses. I had a green shirt on.
Saw
the
you.
Entire
you needed
shirt.
It. You needed
the
it.
The entire
yeah,
shirt
he knew.
Is soaked.
He saw you standing up there with your fists on your hip and on your hips. He's like, that guy's got demons inside. I could see it.
Dude, he hit me with a gallon of water. Like my glasses, I needed like windshield wipers for my glasses because they were pouring. My
okay.
entire family
it's a
laughing.
Little, the water's like a little like kind of weird, right? Like it has like a scent.
Yes.
A little bit like incense.
I took a shower in it.
Yeah. So his thought process was probably like, this is someone who only comes to Mass
once
every
year.
10 years. So I'm going to give him enough holy water for the rest of his life because he may never come back after this.
Dan, he hit me with such a stripe of water that I was sitting underneath an air conditioning vent. Again, muggy, but like hot air hitting me, and it was just my glasses start fogging
up. Now you're damp and swampy.
And I'm just sitting there. They do it again. Another guy comes by, about to do it, and I had to like. I'm like, I'm good. So I don't know if I'll ever.
You're
be
extra unholy.
It's like
though.
A brisket mop on a smoker.
Literally, that's exactly what it was. With just holy water, just absolutely smoked me. So I don't know if I'll ever go back. I have beef with the Catholic clergy. They're gonna have to make it up to me somehow. I don't know how, but. We'll figure it out.
He hit him harder with that water than Kachuk hit him hit pasta with that punch last night.
It hit me like 90 miles an hour. He cocked back with like a crow hop in the little dress. Like he cocked back and just wha!
When I was a child and we had to go to Mass once a week, and they only do the holy water thing on holy days, I believe, or on special occasions, because it's not a thing that they do in every Mass. And I remember always feeling like I got cheated if I didn't get a little splash of the holy water, because everyone else would be getting like a little splash, and then you do it, and then I would just, sometimes you'd just be sitting there, and you'd be like, what the I didn't get any. That's what, right. Does that, what happens right. now?
I'll bring you my shirt. You can bring it out. It's still soaked.
Well, Tony's got enough so that on average, over a lifetime, he'll be okay even if it never happens to him again. It's the way that Josh Hart has played an average of 48.2 minutes in the last five games, even though they've only had one overtime game. He's playing more than 48 minutes per game, Stu Gatz.
He's been great. Thank you for bringing it back to the Knicks, to the Mecca. That's the place where I observe my religion. Let's take some phone calls here on WFHC.
Our callers are doing our jobs for free at WFHC.
Let's go to Vinny on a car phone. Vinny, go ahead.
Hey, guys. I love WFHC. You guys are the fattest. The fattest. What a night last night. I mean, when Jalen Brunson came out at halftime and I heard him MVP chants, I was fundamentally altered as a human being. I will never be the same again. Unless we lose game three, then we are chokers and deserve to die.
I thought that was Ric Flair. That sounds just like Ric Flair.
Vinny's right, though. I mean, you know.
You want to take more callers?
I do.
We're taking callers now.
WFAT, yeah, big Knick game last night. Let's take one more here. Let's go to Mike in the Bronx. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. This team, man, I mean, come on. No Julius Randle. I was there. No Mitchell Robinson. No, whichever Bogdanovich is the one that we got. No Anunoby by the fourth quarter. I mean, no Brunson in the second quarter. I'm at the guard. They ran out of hot dogs by the third quarter. No pretzels. I tracked these concessions. I ate a lot during the game. No pretzels by the end of the game. They ran out of seltzer, all right? I mean, they had seltzer, but not like the cherry kind that I like. I mean, this team, nothing can stop this team. Nothing. We had nothing. We had nothing. Nobody in the stands had any pants on by the end of the game.
I don't want
calls. We all stood there with nothing. We still beat the pants off of them.
Taking calls.
Good call, Mike.
Why are we taking calls? Mm-hmm.
Can I just say, as someone who is here on WFAT for the first time, I mean, can you explain to me how embarrassed you think David Pastrnak is that he had to ask his coach if he could fight and then he got knocked out and then he had to leave the game? How embarrassed do you think he was?
Kachuk al dente in his face. Excuse me. I butchered that. Jesus, like Tom Thibodeau. Let's take a call, WFAT.
Please, no more calls. Please.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I thought we showed Reggie Miller last night with that chant. I mean, we got his ass. I was there. We heckled a nearly 60-year-old man. We proved to him, to the world, that 30 years later, we still remember how he took our choking dog Knicks with 8 points in 9 seconds. And people who did not know that, who weren't old enough, who weren't born yet, we taught a whole new generation what losers we used to be. You know, the tabloids, they blame Spike Lee for the week for heckling him and making him sodomize us like that. I tell you what. He inflicted a pain that we handed down to the kids. It was, what was it, 3 decades ago, but we chanted at him in a sing-song way back then, and now I feel better. Even though 30 years ago, that was apparently one of the highlights of his life and one of the definitely worst moments of our lives. I mean, it had to be one of the worst things to ever happen to a New York sports team. Had to be. I mean, Reggie used to say, I remember this, he loved being a villain. He enjoyed that. The quiet he inflicted on the road even more than the roar of a home crowd. So, you know, I'm sure he was deeply insulted by us remembering what he did to us three decades ago. We got him good. I'm going to hang up on
this. I don't want to take any more calls, Stugatz. You say that on a day like today, all you do is open up the phone lines and go lazy sports radio person. And I
just
don't
kill
believe
2 minutes with a 20 share.
I know. Mean, yeah, well, you killed 2 minutes, but it wasn't any good.
So?
Any good. That was an excellent call. I don't even know what he said, but it was great.
In New York? I mean, what are you talking about?
I think the last one was my old neighbor.
I had forgotten that part, that Reggie Miller says that he always enjoyed a quiet road crowd more than even the cheers of a home crowd. Chipper Jones used to say the same thing about doing that to Shea Stadium. So, yeah, if that's something that you enjoy, Reggie Miller leaves that arena last night like he's just imbibed from a fountain of youth, no?
He had 45 chances to enjoy that feeling. He did it 12 times.
I think he feels alive when he leaves that building last night, right? Like they're searching for that rush again after they retire. I feel like he feels alive. I feel like he thinks he's in the series.
Yeah.
He's in it now.
I will tell you guys that all of these athletes who leave sports and have such a hard time because there's nothing like playing in the center of that pressurized madness. When they get to the sidelines, J.J. Redick will look for whatever it is that he will find later in his career. It'll never feel like that. There is no such thing. You'll get near it. You'll be on the sidelines. You'll coach and won't have control. But being in the middle of it, there's nothing like it. But if you can be to the side of the stage and feel like you're in the middle of it, you can't give Reggie Miller a greater compliment on what his career was, that never won anything, a career that didn't get to the finals but once, right? Yeah. One time got to the finals,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Half as much as Jimmy Butler in the last few years, Reggie Miller, and to have that all resurrected for you because at one time, maybe the last time the Knicks mattered like this, honestly. Maybe the last time. It's probably been this long since the Knicks felt this kind of good.
Maybe Lynn, maybe.
Nah, 2000 was the last time they mattered. And they lost to the Pacers that year,
yes.
2000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but mattered like this when they're coming off of the Pat Riley interrupting the O.J. Simpson finals, John Starks going 2-for-18, and then Riley goes to Miami and all of the balance of the conference changes. This is a different time. Like that, when you can combine all of these elements, Stugatz,
yes,
that the team is an underdog, it's cool and lovable, and you get the nostalgia of I'm going to go grab some of the stories so that I can remember what it was like to play the Davis brothers?
Forgot about those guys. Antonio and Dale.
A different time. Could not play today. Neither one of them. Don't have range in their offensive game. They were just muscle.
Howdy, listeners. It's Mike, and you know, a lot has changed over the years. Just look at sports. There's instant replay, a three-point line. There were shifts and then not shifts. But one thing that hasn't changed over the course of all those things I just mentioned, the great taste of Miller Lite. That's right. It's so good. And it's also less filling. So what's the best thing about Miller Lite, the original light beer? Well, Miller Lite sparked this debate way back in 1975. We still haven't settled it. Be like me. I don't pick one. I like it because it's both. Miller Lite keeps it simple. Undebatable quality. Great taste. Only 96 calories. It's a beer that strips away everything that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. You don't have to choose what's best. Be like me. Say both. Miller Lite. Great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.